All right, so so we are going to be going over the review of the covenants with man. Who remembers exactly what we talked about 2 weeks ago? Probably not. So that's okay. We're going to do a quick recap, and then Pastor talked about the covenants with man and the way that God cut covenants with man, primarily in the Old Testament. And then what he's going to be talking about next week is the new covenant. Know what happened when we were no longer under the law, but then Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Now, there's a gap between those two, and that's what I'll be talking about today. And that gap is, how do we bridge from the covenant that God cut in the Old Testament to the covenant that was cut in the New? And that really is going to be along the basis of the blood covenant. Now, what we'll be talking about today is not in your books. Suzette just slapped her book so quickly. She was like, where is it? So this is not in your books. Pastor, he's going to do such a phenomenal job next week about the new covenant. And for those of you that have been recently saved, or you may not truly understand what that is, he's going to do a great job of explaining that to you next week. But here's what I want to do this week. I want to show you, from the Bible standpoint and from the Jewish culture standpoint, the importance of a blood covenant. I think it's easy for us to say, well, I'm in a covenant with God and that's awesome. But I think that if we truly understand the importance of it, it will really help us in our relationship with the Lord. Amen? So this content is actually from our Bible school, another shameless plug. There's a class that we teach is called Blood Covenant. So if you like what's going to be taught tonight, come and talk to me and we'll see what we can make happen. Raise your hand if you're in the Bible school or if you have to take it in class. Awesome. Y'all are great. My wife raised her hand. Okay, that's fine. And you're married to the dean. Wow. Okay. So, covenants with man. So let us review. What is a covenant? Shout it out. What is a covenant? It's a contract. What else? A binding agreement. What else? So give me some examples of covenants or contracts in our modern day society.
Marriage.
Car loan. Union.
Mortgage.
Now let's talk about some of the times that people break contracts or they break covenants. What are some of those instances? Divorce. What else?
Repossession.
Repo. What else?
Foreclosure.
You'll be interested to know that the church, the evangelical born-again Christian, has the same divorce rate as the world. It's interesting that we talk about, you know, covenants and marriage and this is what God wanted me to do, but then the same rate of divorce is equivalent to that in the world. So that's just a really interesting concept to keep in mind as we talk about this. Now, within the world, it's very interesting when we look at contracts, because there's this mindset that I can break it, then I can get out of it. Or that if I break it early, there's a penalty that I can pay. There's a small consequence, maybe there's a fee, and then once I pay that, then I'm now out of it. From a biblical standpoint, that was never God's intent when it came to covenants. So what are some of the covenants that God cut that we talked about 2 weeks ago? We had the Adamic covenant, which was what? It was a conditional covenant. All right, which one was next? Before that one? The Noahic covenant, which was unconditional. And what is the Noahic covenant? What was that? He would never flood the earth again. Now, you have to be very mindful of the language of the text. The covenant said he would never flood the entire earth again. He never said there would never be a flood. So it's interesting when people say, well, God lied. He went against his word, but that's because they're not true Bible scholars, because they didn't read the entire word. It says he would never flood the entire earth. So God is still a God of his word, even if a flood hits any part of this world. He does not lie. Okay? Then we had which one was next? The Abrahamic covenant. Then after that? Mosaic. And after that? The Davidic. And the Davidic covenant will be the link to the new covenant that Pastor will be talking about next week. All right? So let's take some time and talk about the blood covenant. I need two volunteers. You two can be my volunteers on one condition. You two do not go to Target together. Look at that. They can't do it. I guess I need two new volunteers.
Or just like within the next week.
Okay, you two can come up here. Let's do this. Come up. I need one of you on this side, one of you on the other side. So this is my sweet wife, Tara. And this is Mrs. Pelton, a.k.a. Brittany. And these two are about to enter into a covenant within the Jewish context. So let's take ourselves back to Bible times, okay? Like Old Testament times. They're about to enter into a covenant, okay? I'm going to walk you through the 9 steps to enter into a covenant. Nowadays, it's, you know, you want to buy a house, you sign on a piece of paper. You know, I go to the store and I want to buy all these things. I give you my card. Hopefully it goes through. I take my stuff, and then we've come into an agreement that you got my money, I got my milk, and I'm out. But back then, a covenant was so much more. And I believe that as I walk you through the steps of the covenant and then show you how that relates to how it was in the new covenant and how that relates to today, you will never see covenants in the same way. Okay? So step one, here we go. Is that they would take off their coat or their robe. Please keep them on. So if my wife had on a coat, she would take it off. If Brittany had that, that's your husband's, she would take that off. And what that would represent is that their robe actually represented themselves. So when they would actually take it off, they are literally saying, I am pledging myself to you. Who I am as an individual, this is now going to be you. And who you are is now going to be me. I am now taking off who I think it is all about me, and I'm now going to make it about you as well. This is the first step of the covenant. Now think, in today's day, how many people are actually doing that? This is step 1 of 9. How many people are actually saying, in this agreement, I will die to myself some more before we enter into this? It will be less about me as we enter into this. My entire identity, I'm willing to put it on the line for this agreement. Step 1. This is going to be fun by the time we get to step 9. They're taking off the robe and they're pledging their life to the other party. Step 2, you guys writing this down? Step 2, they take off their belt. Please don't do that.
I don't have one.
When they take off their belt actually held all of their weapons. Their swords and their knives and their daggers and every weapon they had, it was on their belt. And this is what they were saying. My entire strength, I'm going to lay it down for you. Every wall that I have built up, every bit of protection that I have put up for myself, I'm going to lay it down in this covenant. And the only time I will pick it up will be to defend you. That now the protection that I've had over my life, my family, my stuff, you now have access to that as well. We haven't even gotten to what the covenant is about. Look at the pattern that this is operating in. Usually in today's society, we start with the stuff. But right now, we're starting with identity. First, I'm going to lay down who I am. Secondly, I'm going to lay down every defense. And I will only pick it up when it's time to come and defend you. The protection that I have, now you can count on it as well. The strength that I have, now you can count on that as well. So what was step one?
Take off your robe.
And what did that mean? What's step number two?
Take off your belt.
And what does that mean? Good. All right. Now here's what they would do. Come over here. So back then, can I see up here? Now, please do not be offended by what I'm about to say.
Okay? I am not.
Then they would take an animal. See that preface? And then they would cut the animal. So I need you to lie down and pretend that you've been cut in half. They will cut the animal. And this meant one of two things. Brittany will come over here. Tara will come over here. Now, pretend that she's cut and then split open. I'm not going to do that. What they would do is they would then walk through this. Go ahead, just walk by the side. And here is what that would signify. Number one is, not only do you have my identity, not only have I laid down my strength, but now this symbolizes that I'm dying to myself. I have now died to myself. I've broken down everything that's about me, everything that I've always made about me. In this covenant, it is no longer about me. It's now about we. They walk through this together. And also, this was really interesting. Do you know why they killed that? It was to also symbolize, if I ever break this covenant, let what was done to this animal be done to me as well. So when you sign, say, yes, I do, and here's the marriage contract, and literally what you were saying was, if I was to ever break this contract, the way we killed and gutted this thing, let that be done to me as well. If I went into a marketing contract with you, or we're trading camels or whatever it was back then, and I tried to stiff you, farming, and I tried to play you, I'm literally saying, if I ever steal from you, let this be done to me as well. We haven't even gotten to what we're talking about. We have no idea what the contract is about, do we? We don't. So first is my identity. Then is my strength. Now I'm saying we're going to walk through this because I'm going to die to myself. And if I ever break this, let it be done to me what's been done to this animal. Thank you. We are a third of the way there. You guys still with me? We will leave here early. Watch this, if I be a man of God. Number four, they will both raise their right hand, and there would be a cut that would be made on their right hands. And then they will mix their blood. That's really gross. And what did that mean? Here's what that meant. That my life is no longer just me, but we've now, go back. We have now become one life. Because it's not just my blood, it's your blood as well. But when you mix that blood, can you tell which one is which? So now we're one. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And this is where they got it from. I mean, it's Bible. Number five. Oh, and I love this one. Your hands can come down. What they would do, so Tara's last name is?
Ebo.
Powerful name. And Brittany's last name is?
Pelton.
In step five, they would actually exchange names. So, not that you would give it up, but you would actually take on her last name and you would take on her last name. Because there's power in the name. When you go out and people say Nathan, they're like, oh, well, I think this about him. I think this about him. I think this about him. I'll do this to him. I probably won't do this to him. I can get away with this. I probably can't get away with this. There is a reputation that comes with your name. So not only are we one in blood, but we're not one in character. And whatever power your name holds, now I'm going to have it as well. Do you now see why it is very important to be careful when you enter into marriage? Because when we say you're not going to just marry them, you marry the family, you marry the siblings, you marry the parents, you also marry that reputation. I'm just being real. Ooh, Jesus. So when I take on that name, it's now so much, because now we're really joined. You can't divorce a name. You cannot take apart the blood. This is truly one, which means this. For you to kill this contract, you've got to kill me too. Because now with every step, we become less and less separate, and we're more and more one. So that's step five. Step six. They would then, is it called cauterize? They would cauterize the wound, and it would make a scar. And when they would make a scar, it would be a permanent testimony to the covenant. And it will let people know that anywhere I go, when you see my hand, you know who I'm in covenant with. Even so, that if you had an issue with me, you could come towards me, slowly, please. And you had an issue with me, and I raised my hand, and you saw the scar, you would immediately recognize, oh, he's probably in covenant with him. Thank you, Jesus. Which now means that once you see this scar, you not only can have to take me on, you have to take me and him and anybody else he's in covenant with by the scar. Isn't it powerful what happened on the cross? Thank you. The scar was a testimony that I'm in covenant. It was an outward expression of an inward covenant. You guys got that? That's why I love Bible college. It's so much fun. Yes, sir.
Were they different, or was it just the scar? Did they have, like, I had a different scar if you were coming with me, she had one?
So what I would assume is that for you to see that scar and notice it, it had to be different. It had to be. And how interesting is that? That just by a scar, you would know, well, if I'm going to mess with him, every other person he's in covenant with, I have to take on as well. That's why I find it very interesting when people in church say, well, I'm all alone. Once you come into this family, everyone here has your back. It's the truth. If somebody comes against him, they're coming against me. He comes to this church. He worships just like me. Listens to the same word. Sits under the same pastor. He goes to my Bible school. If you mess with him, you mess with me. And if you mess with me, you mess with her. And that's a problem. But look, because we're in covenant. And we're in covenant. So now you have to take on the entire lineage. How powerful it is to be in covenant with the right people. All right. So now y'all have a scar, mix some blood. Y'all are nasty. It's like, it's gross. But it's okay. Now, number seven, and I love this. For y'all that want to date and get married, this is very important. Now we start to actually get to the actual covenant of, like, what are we actually doing this for, right? So step seven is when what I like to call we give the assets and the liabilities of the covenant. Here's what I mean by that. Brittany would literally come and say, "This is everything that I have." Tara would say, "This is everything that I have. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine." In addition, this is all the junk and debt and bad credit, and this is all the bad stuff that I have. And Tara says, "Well, I got this baggage, I got this baggage, I got this baggage, I got addiction to Moe's, I have so many things going on. These are my liabilities." It's like the worst thing I can think about my wife. Addicted to Moe's. So not only do I have to take on your assets, I also take on your liabilities. Not only do I take on what can grow and help me, but I also take on what could potentially destroy me. But the covenant is more important than that risk. And they would verbally say it so everyone would know, from this point forth, all these things belong to these two. It's easy with the assets. It's so easy. "Oh, you got this, this, and this? What?" Girls be like, "What? He got a job, a car, and he doesn't live with his mama? Give me that ring." Like, it's so interesting. It's so interesting. But then it's like, wait, he had this and this issue and this issue, but in that covenant, you can't separate the two. And I love the fact that it was documented, so nobody could say, "Well, I didn't know." And there was nothing held back. We give the covenant terms. "This is what we want. This is what we agreed to. But at the same time, this is all I have, the good and the bad. You have that too. And the same for you as well." Then number 8, they would eat a memorial meal. So Tara would go to Moe's and get the taco salad, which is everything but a salad. Brittany would make peanut chicken with Hershey's cookies and cream, ice cream. Jesus. That was our last meal at their house. It was amazing. And within this, the animal flesh would be replaced with bread, and the blood of the animal would be replaced with wine. What does that sound like? Isn't that interesting? So they would say, "Okay, we've killed this thing, we've mixed our blood, we've scarred, we've aired out all of our baggage, now let's go eat." But in this meal, we want to have a representation of this sacrifice, of this covenant. So here, we're going to take some bread, and as I eat this, it will represent the flesh that was killed. And as I drink this, it will represent the blood that was spilled. And step number 9, then they will go to the backyard and they will plant a tree. And what then they will do is they will go back to the animal that was sacrificed, take some blood, and then sprinkle it on the tree as a memorial to remember, whenever I see that tree and I see that blood, I remember the covenant. Thank you. So step number 1. And what did that mean? Next.
Take off your belt.
What did that mean? Next. What did that mean? Next. Then step 5. Step 6, step 7, step 8, step 9. Okay, so there are no kids in here, so we can actually go to the next portion. And this is on live stream, so we can't really edit this out, but it's okay because we're all grown. Marriage back then was so different than it is today. because they literally took these 9 steps and embedded it into the marriage ceremony. Now think about it. When a man and a woman engage in sex, and she is a virgin, what happens? The hymen is torn. And then what happens after that? Blood comes through. A scar has been made. Blood has been spilled. They have mixed to become one. Now do we see why Pastor is so strong on the dangers of premarital sex? It's not just about the STDs. It's not just about the fact that it's a sin. But from a Jewish legal standpoint, from a contractual, a covenant-based standpoint, every person that you sleep with, you are now entering into covenant with them. You are literally taking on both their assets and their liabilities. That's why when you move on to the next person, you can't forget the former one. Because you're in covenant with them. Isn't that crazy? There's a scar that's left. Blood has been spilled. And it's public. So now when you move on, people are saying to you and behind your back, well, weren't you just with this person? Or weren't you just with this person? The world is saying, well, you were just sleeping around. But what they're really actually trying to say is, I thought you were in covenant with this person. Now I see you over here. Then I see you jumping over here. And the world will call you fast and loose. But where that is coming from is from this understanding of covenant. That the minute you're supposed to mix as one, that's supposed to be the one. Now we thank God for his power to break off soul ties. We thank God for his power to remove the pain of the past, remove the barriers of the past, remove the holds of the past. But for people that have refused to give in to that power, that's why they're still so stuck. Because they're hopping from one covenant to the next without effectively leaving the last one. Now they go and they have a ring put on them and they think that will solve all their problems. But now all the issues of the past now come into the present. Why? Because they're still in covenant. It's easy to talk about, well, premarital sex is wrong. That's the truth. But when you can explain it from this standpoint, people are like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. I cannot enter into a new one without the old one being effectively broken. When we had our second child, we bought another car. We actually downsized, which doesn't really make sense, but I hated that gas on the other one. And when I went to the dealer, they called the bank, and I couldn't just enter into a new car loan. We had to take care of the old one, figure out how to close that door before entering into the new one. If you want to buy a house and you are currently in one, you can't just go buy one and just move on in. You've got to figure out that old one as well. See, these are practical things, but when it comes to things of the spirit, I sit back and I struggle to figure out, why can't we get it? We think it's so easy to just exit other covenants and other contracts and enter into new ones, not realizing that the consequences of that old one will still follow me unless I effectively break it. So now let's talk about what's actually awesome. We're going to go through all those 9 steps again, but parallel it to the new covenant. All right, so let's go to step 1. Take off your robe. When Jesus was about to be crucified, did they not tear off his robe? Mm-hmm. Are y'all seeing this already? And symbolically, he's taken off his robe of righteousness, and then he's clothing us in righteousness. And then he's taken our sins and our burdens, and he's putting it on himself. Is that not what the Bible says? Number two. So doesn't the Bible say that in my weakness he is made strong? That when you're weak, what do? You don't go to Facebook. You don't call your girlfriend and you gossip for 3 hours. You go to the Lord. And you say, Lord, in this moment, I have no strength. I need you. This is very powerful. Number three. Now, I believe that he was pierced for me. I believe that he became that sacrificial lamb. I believe that once he was put up on that cross, every single animal that we would have to kill for atonement, he took that all upon himself. Now remember, when we first started off, we said that he did not come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. And it's interesting, as we go through every single step, we see that Christ did this on purpose. He became that animal that was cut. And when he was cut, what happened to the veil? Do y'all see it now? Now, what's interesting is that when that is cut, we had said, what is done to this, if I walk away, so let it be done unto me. I'm thankful for his grace that he does not make us to be crucified. But could you even imagine for a quick second how much more serious people would take their salvation? Look at Nathan's face. Could you imagine how much more serious? Now, I'm thankful that I can pray and truly repent and turn away and not have to go through that. But I say that to say this. We cannot walk through our lives taking what Christ did for us so casually. It was not a casual crucifixion. It was not a casual death. As we can see, it was not a casual covenant. We're on step three and it's already messy. It's already gory. We cannot be casual about, I cannot stress that enough. That's been in my heart for so long. We cannot be casual about what God did so passionately. We cannot be casual about what Jesus did so passionately. We cannot be casual about it. Amen? If you get nothing else out of today, please get that. All right. Then step four was that they raised their hand and then they mixed blood. Two different types of blood coming in as one. And here is that parallel. Jesus was both man and God. So the Bible says that he was the second part of the Godhead, left all his deity, came onto earth, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, but felt and experienced everything that you and I did. So to show that through his perfect life, we could be just like him. He fasted, he was hungry, he went to the bathroom, he did everything that we should be doing or we do. Clearly I have tellers. Perfect, right? That was awesome. He did all of that to show you and I that in the flesh he could do it, and so can you. But he was still all God. So now he has now intermingled his deity and our humanity. We can't fight that. We can't fight the fact he was all God. But we also cannot fight the fact that he walked this earth and lived a perfect life. Which automatically refutes every person that says, I can't do that. He did. I could never be that holy. Yes, you can. I can never be that righteous. Yes, you can. I can never be that upright. Yes, you can. Not because I believe it for you, because I do. But more importantly, he demonstrated that through his covenant. You with me? Yeah. Number five, we exchange names. Isn't it interesting that he goes from the Son of God to the Son of Man? And then we go from sinner to Christian, which means that we are Christ-like. We are like Christ. We've now exchanged our sinful name for his great name. And now we have the power to call on that name. When people say Igbo, she immediately stands up because she holds on to that name. That's why you have power when you can call on the name of Jesus. That's why you have it. He gave it to you. He said, take my name, call on his power, hold on to it. When somebody says Hayes, she doesn't stand up. She doesn't stand up. You'll stand up because she understands that power because she's in covenant with that name. So for people that don't truly understand the name of Jesus, I don't think it's because they don't love the Lord. I think because they don't understand the power of that covenant. Because when you do get it, you could call on the name of Jesus in the midnight hour. You don't have to wait for a pastor to lay hands on you. You don't have to wait for that perfect worship set. You say, Jesus, we are in covenant. I put a demand on your name now for healing, breakthrough, miracle. And you have that right. I don't care what none of you, if y'all say, Pastor Obi, I need you now. I'm going to come when I want to. But when she says, I need you now, you better believe I'm picking up that phone ASAP. Even if I think she's wrong, it doesn't matter. She has put a command and a demand on my name. And because we're in covenant, I automatically have to respond. That's how it is with the name of Jesus. Did I just hit a sore spot? Man, it's quiet in here, man. And the women say amen. Step number six, a scar is made. The scar that Jesus had on his hands and on his feet. That's it right there. But that's for him. But for us, the Bible talks about a circumcision of the heart, a cutting away, creating me a clean heart, a pure heart. Father, I want to die to my old self. There is a scar that is made in which I can say that was the place where I was cut, and my old self is never coming back again. That's where it used to be. You can't be in covenant without a cut. What does that mean? You can't say, I accept the Lord, without cutting off the past. You have to. It is impossible for you to say, Jesus, take all those scars from me, but I don't want to get cut. I want to hold on to this. It is impossible within covenant. I said this in my Bible college class. Ladies, how would you feel if you met this guy and he proposed to you and he said, I want all of you. But for me, I got to hold on to this one ex because I just can't get rid of her. So don't give me like 3-4 years. And no, maybe she's like, nope, nope, nope. It sounds crazy, right? How's that I'm going to give up everything and you refuse to cut out this one thing? How about that? And I walk with the Lord. How many times, and please don't raise your hand, because this happened to me as well, I'm just be honest. How many times has the Lord said, I want you to get rid of this one thing, and you hesitate? Not that you say no, you hesitate. Could you imagine if Christ hesitated to go to the cross? For him, it was a no-brainer. I love them so much, and I will not walk away from this covenant. I do it, and he would do it again for you. The scar that we have to take is a circumcision of the heart. To say, I will not let anything come between me and my God, between me and my Christ. I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is that needs to be cut, I will make that cut and I will leave that scar, and I'm okay with it. But remember, with that scar, we have the power to say, with this scar, he has a similar scar. So if you want to come against me, you've got to come against him. That's why the Bible says this, and check this out. Don't fret when people come against you. They're not attacking you. They're attacking the God inside of you because they see that scar. Now you're different. Now you're changed. You don't look like them. You don't talk like them. You don't hang out like them. They don't recognize who you are. All they see is that something has been cut away and there's this new light shining inside of you. That's what they're attacking. So when they come against you, I smile because now they don't realize they're fighting God. They're not fighting me. They're fighting God. That's what the Bible says, be still and let God fight your battle. Vengeance is his, says the Lord. See, in all this fighting, it's less about you. It has nothing to do, stop making it about you. It's about him. Another reason why you must decrease, that he must increase. I'm getting excited, let me calm down. Number 7, give the covenant terms. See, if you don't read your Bible, you don't know what you have. Pastor, where is that? It's in the Bible. I can speak so boldly because it's in the Bible. Now, here's what I love. When I hear somebody preach and they drop something and I'm like, oh, I've never read that in the Word before. And I go back to my Bible and I find it and it's a chapter I've read time and time again, but I never had that revelation. So it's not just reading it with your eyes, it's with your heart. Because he's literally saying, I will give you this. There's a verse in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, that's been prophesied over my life for years. I said, wherever the soles of your feet will touch, I will give to you. I was like, yes, Lord. Like every prophet said it, like my parents prayed it over me, my pastors did, whatever. And it was very interesting that a few years ago, I went on a mission trip to Mexico. And before then, Pastor had gone. And then Pastor Cody did. And then now, we have churches in Mexico that now want to sit under us. And the minute that my soles of my feet touched there, now we have Bible college students that are from Mexico. And now we have pastors from Mexico that say, we want you to establish a Bible college for us in Mexico. Now, if I didn't truly understand Joshua 1:3, I would just say, well, this is just a really big coincidence. But his covenant terms told me this, wherever my feet touch, he will give me. If I dare ask for the nations, he will give to me. So that's what I do. From now on, I ask for the nation. Whatever I want, I say, Lord, this is what your word says. These are our covenant terms. If I do what he wants me to do. That's the difference. Pastor Obi, well, he does call me Pastor Obi. Obi, I need you to know to wake up at 4:30 and pray. Oh, Lord, the boy's been up all night and I'm really tired. But Lord, I want this increase. No, that's not the way it works, because remember, with these two, it's the assets and the liabilities. It's the blessing and the burden. Am I willing to seek his face for another half hour? Am I willing to pour out a little bit more? Am I willing to witness to the unlovable? Am I willing to reach out and give grace to one more Bible college student? Am I willing to be a better husband one more step? When the Lord speaks to me, am I willing to respond quickly without hesitation? I would challenge you with this. Within your covenant with the Lord, would you like for the Lord to respond to you in the same pace and enthusiasm that you respond to him? Let me say that again. In your covenant relationship with the Lord, would you like for the Lord to respond to you in the same timing and with the same enthusiasm that you respond to his voice? Just think about that. Okay, it's quiet. I told you, we're gonna get out here early. I feel it. Number 8 is to eat a memorial meal. And we know that that is communion, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, where we are now remembering what happened through sharing of a meal. And then number nine, we plant a memorial tree. And I'm sure that that's no shock that the cross was made out of a tree and his blood was stained on that tree. Steps one through nine, we see it through the life of Jesus. So now when Pastor starts New Covenant next week, it won't be a shock to you that this covenant that he has now cut with us, this new covenant that we're now privy to, the gap between the old and the new is the blood covenant. Does that make sense? That's all I have for today. The gap between the old covenant and the new covenant is the blood covenant. And we had just went through it, steps one through nine. I showed you through the Jewish culture and tradition what a covenant meant. Then I showed you how Jesus exemplified all of that through his death on the cross. And now you have the right to that covenant. So when Pastor tells you next week the covenants that you have, he's not just telling you what you have, now you know why you have it. And the beauty about this is that he did it before he knew that you would accept him. That's true love. He did it before he knew that you would accept him. So again, I don't take his sacrifice casually. I don't. Now I want to ask you that second question again. If God responded to you in the same timing and enthusiasm that we respond to his voice in covenant, how would you feel? Any questions? 752. That's an act of God.
It's about multiple covenants.
What was that?
They
mm-hmm. And what was awesome about it was that it would compound. So let's say that I'm in covenant with her. And by the time that we come into covenant, she's saying, just so you know, with my covenant terms, I'm in covenant with her. So if you want to be in covenant with me, you got to be in covenant with her as well. Yeah, we don't do that anymore. No. Yeah, so back in the old times, there was a certain time period in which the men married several women. Yeah, but the women didn't marry several men. Yeah, I know, I'm messing with you. Because you're engaged, so. You have a question?
Did he make the same covenant with Abraham?
So the Abrahamic covenant is in your books on page. Oops. So that covenant was actually made in the book of Joshua, but the covenant with Abraham was in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. You see, that first line alone means cut away. You guys see that. And I pray that as you read through the word again, every time that you see a blessing, that parts of these nine steps will come up. Get away, cut. To a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So those are the bits of Abraham's blessing. And then Abraham then had Isaac, and Isaac had his own, and Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had his own, and the majority of them were going to overlay. And you're in Old Testament survey? Good, you'll be learning about that. Any other questions? Does this make sense? Okay, good. And this is stuff that a lot of people really don't want to get into, but I think it's very important because we cannot, as responsible pastors, allow people to just say, well, walk by faith, just live holy, hope you get it. We all know Pastor. He wants you to know that you know. So when he comes back next week, you just let him know, I know why I have that. Because of the blood. There was blood on the tree. It's for me. Like, that's okay. He will absolutely love that. Okay? So again, I pray as you read through the word, through every covenant that you see, in the back of your mind, you begin to remember what was that process. And then relate that to the process that Christ went through for us. The torture he went through, the torment he went through, the sacrifice he went through. And see, because of that blood covenant, we can now bridge the old with the new, but not be under the law, but allow Christ to fulfill the law. And now we're not under his grace and no longer the law.